Hey, it's Dasein, a philosopher here, and hope you guys are having a good Wednesday morning. So for today's method in my Dead Philosopher's tour of this third episode, the method I've used today is I've taken the next seven philosophers that I'll be visiting during the Dead Philosopher's tour. And by using my Dictionnaire de Philosophie, I'll be presenting some main philosophical themes and ideas explored by these philosophers. I'll also be presenting the pedagogical articles that I have found, which show a possibility of a relationship between their philosophy and pedagogy in general. First philosopher today is Søren Kierkegaard. According to Vincent Delacroix, Kierkegaard placed the concepts of existence and of subjectivity at the center of his philosophical reflection. Furthermore, Kierkegaard held the idea that these two terms cannot be reduced by Hegelian dialectic, and therefore the Kierkegaardian system was effectively created to contest the Hegelian system. With his work titled Stages of Life, Kierkegaard tried to define three stages within human existence. They are the following: the aesthetic stage, the ethical stage, and the religious stage. The aesthetic stage is when the individual is non-invested in actual existence, meaning that the individual is romantic, full of possibility and of potential, and concentrates on one's dreams. The ethical stage is when the individual integrates oneself with the community and finds oneself in a specific societal role. Finally, the religious stage is when the individual defines oneself in relation to their faith, even when they are conscious of the fact that they are found simultaneously in front of both the absurd and the absolute. This is found on page 416 in the Dictionnaire de Philosophie. And the pedagogical article that I found is titled Kierkegaard, Seduction and Existential Education by Herne Savero. Next, we have Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. According to Bernard Bourgeois, the speculative philosophy of Hegel is the mirror of one totalizing reason. For Hegel, being free is defined as being with oneself in a whole that is reunited with the other. Furthermore, because of the fact that the existing philosophy of his time was not the remedy for general alienation, a system searches for itself but rests hidden. It is when Hegel becomes a professor that he elaborates his philosophical system, which is called dialectic. This dialectic begins with the negation of the negative towards the true absolute being, which is the totalization of the determinations of being. In fact, our modern actuality still defines itself in relation to Hegel without its knowledge, whenever actuality does not move towards him. The pedagogical I found is titled Hegel on Education by Alan W. Wood. Now we look at Friedrich Nietzsche. According to François Guéri, Nietzsche remains an enigma, since Nietzschean thought hides in its contradictions, which renders itself difficult to approach an access point to this thought. Also, for Nietzsche, philosophy is a discreet and secret practice in the fact that to know oneself, for the philosopher, and for the thinker in general, is the acceptance of an internal wound where the philosopher is split. Nietzsche also heavily critiqued Wagner and Schopenhauer by saying that these two were artists that ignored their own decay. Finally, Nietzsche popularized the idea that destruction and therefore pain is necessary for the transcendence of the self and of its thoughts. The pedagogical article that I found is titled Nietzsche as Educator, a Reexamination by James Scott Johnston. Now we look at Theodor Adorno. According to Olivier Tinland, Adorno was in dialogue with Hegel and he established a system of the negative dialectic. This negative dialectic opposes Hegel's in the fact that the negative dialectic places the contingent as primordial in the definition of a notion. In his book titled The Philosophy of New Music, Adorno discusses the negative aesthetic and original mimesis of the real world, which possibly holds the function of authentic and irreductible critique of all things that can be defined as a mediator. Adorno was influenced by other anti-Hegelian thinkers, such as Kierkegaard. The pedagogical article I found is titled From Aesthetics to Pedagogy and Back, Rethinking the Works of Theodor Adorno by Tyson Lewis. Next, we have Arthur Schopenhauer, and according to Jean-François Goubet, Schopenhauer inherited a strong character from his father and intelligence from his mother. Schopenhauer traveled across Europe with his parents before completing his thesis, titled On the Fourfold Root of the Principle of Sufficient Reason in 1813. His masterpiece, titled The World as Will and Representation, holds the idea that all representation is a relationship between the subject and the object. Furthermore, Schopenhauer shared a rational foundation with Plato in his proposition that humans differ from animals in the fact that human beings have reason, which is the capacity to create and express concepts. Schopenhauer taught at the University of Berlin for but one trimester, since students preferred Hegel's lessons over his, which were conducted at the same time. I was not able to find a pedagogical article for Schopenhauer's ideas and its link to pedagogy. Now, with Nicholas Machiavelli, according to Thierry Meynisier, Machiavelli is one of the inventors of modern political philosophy, and his name even led to the adjective, which is Machiavellian. Machiavelli is the author of both The Art of War, a work of military theory, and The Prince, a book that had the goal of determining how to take and keep political power. For Machiavelli, politics is always a battlefield where contradicting interests are always in perpetual conflict. Machiavelli also represents the rupture from the classical political philosophy that came from ancient Greece towards modern humanism. This vision of the Renaissance is the beginning of reflection on the human condition with the goal of establishing the best type of political system. For Machiavelli, one must be both a fox and a lion, and therefore immoral at times, if one wishes to take and keep political power. In other words, with the goal of taking and keeping political power, one must always use slyness and brute force when they are necessary. I was unable to find a pedagogical article linking Machiavelli and pedagogy. Lastly, we'll be taking a look at Karl Jaspers. According to Vincent Hulion, Jaspers was a doctor, psychiatrist, and philosopher that consecrated his life to the comprehension of human existence by using scientific, metaphysical, and historical methods. He also critiqued Freudian psychoanalysis and Husserl's method that was founded on the intentionality of the conscience. For Jaspers, existence is a movement in the fact that being penetrates the world, orients itself to then overcome this world, all by becoming the possibility as it ends with transcendence. I was unable to find a pedagogical article linking pedagogy and Karl Jaspers. Well, that's all the notes for today. Hope you guys enjoyed the little podcast and you guys learned something new. I'll be back sometime soon, hopefully this weekend, but we'll see. So I'm kind of getting a little bit busy with education and my responsibility as a teacher now. But I'm going to do my best to keep you guys posted on the progress of me writing my third book, which is titled The Dead Philosopher's Tour. Hope you guys have a great day, and I'll catch you guys next time.